But we're going to have a look at Philemon, and it's a letter written to Philemon, and it's Paul's friend. He's actually a leader. He's a church leader, believe it or not. Sometimes you might want to call it a church host. He hosted the Colossians church as it started to grow. And Paul is writing this letter, but you know what the fantastic thing about it is? He's in prison. I have to be really honest, the last thing on my mind is if I was in prison, would be to write a letter to somebody to help them. But he's in prison. And the thing to remember about prison, particularly when the Romans were around, is that prisons were not punishment, they were holding places. So that's where people were sent while the authorities decided what to do. And there wasn't a great choice, if I'm honest. Really, there was either torture, there was death, or you got shipped off to some sort of deserted island. It was pretty rough. So for Paul, he was actually waiting. It was a waiting game for him as he wrote that letter. And yet, as we'll hear shortly from Florence, that he shows absolute confidence. Absolute confidence in what he's saying. I don't know if you've ever listened to into a telephone call. Has anyone ever done that before? I'm not saying you have to admit it. I have. I've actually had a listen in, not purposefully, but some conversations are very private, aren't they? Very intimate. And this letter is a very intimate letter that Paul is sending. He's actually sending it to his friend to help in a situation. Because he loves him that much that he's doing this while he's locked up. It's about an issue that's related to a relationship that his friend has. And I ain't going to mess around here. It's a relationship that he had with a slave. And it was Onesimus. There you go, there's pronunciation. Which means useful. So what a lot of people of the time did is they used to give names to their slaves. So things like useful and helpful, strong. You know, they used to give those kinds of names. But Paul plays on this in the letter, as we're going to hear shortly, as well as offering a few other digs. So he actually plays on that name, useful. Onesimus runs away, possibly because he has stolen from Philemon. So we think there's something going on there. And he arrives, whether that's by accident, I suspect not, or by design, he finds Paul. And I just wanted to touch on slavery, because as we listen, I really want you to listen to the word. And we get really stuck in slavery, and we absolutely should, so I'm not saying that, but I kind of want us to understand the context of what's going on here. You know, slavery, it's a major subject in this letter, and it's fundamentally the driving force of why Paul is giving this advice. And we associate slavery with Africa and race and ethnicity, where Westerners would go and traffic people from the 18th and 19th century in the UK and this ever-expanding British Empire of the time. You know, slavery was abolished in the UK and the British Empire in around 1833. In the ancient world, slavery wasn't like that. Anyone could be a slave. You know, if you imagine, you could be in a battle on the losing side and you're a nobleman, you know, you're really powerful, got lots of money, lots of status, and your comrades are killed, and you could be enslaved and end up on a ship as a galley man rowing some boat as the lowest of the low. So suddenly your status has changed. You know, you could be a slave because you're a child that's been born of a slave mother. Or you could be someone who's been sold because of debt. In the ancient world, slavery was a way of getting things done. And a master had a responsibility for looking after a slave. You know, having said that, should a slave escape, they could have a price on the head, which, if found, could lead to death. Slavery of the time was a foundation of an economy, a society. It was thought at the time giving freedom to slaves in large numbers would lead to starvation to different parts of the population because they were doing the labor in the fields. They were producing things. And there was no other alternative, it was believed at the time, that was available. You know, having said that, slavery is slavery. And Paul's approach to slavery was different. He slowly picked at the culture to start change by getting people to see slaves as fellow men. This was change. By helping people to see and think differently. And this theme runs right through that letter. Absolutely right through. And do you know what? This doesn't cover slavery. And I'm not trying to justify it because I'm really not. And I think it's perfectly clear if you read the Bible that God's heart is to see his people free.
Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So, if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
Before we go anywhere, I have to confess, I struggle with relationships. Seriously, I'm not joking. I find them complicated. I fall into that trap sometimes of them being more about me than others. And I really get into that, the whole detail, and suddenly turn everything on me without realizing that I'm putting barriers up. And I do. I genuinely struggle with relationships. Verse 8 to 22 is a major part of the letter. This is the message that Paul's trying to get across. What Paul actually teaches us through the Holy Spirit is about kingdom thinking. Not plumbing, by the way. Paul's very keen on reconciling the relationships between Philemon and even at the expense of his own wants. We are all ambassadors. If you think about it, we are all ambassadors of reconciliation, aren't we? You know, reconciling people to God and each other. And if you don't believe me, go and read.